honor the Lord today for being in his house, thanking and praising him for how he's kept me from last week up until this appointed time.
Yes.
Just giving God praise because it didn't have to be that I was here today.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw fit to keep me in the land of the living.
Yeah.
When there's so much turmoil that's going on in the land. Mm-hmm. But you know what? My God is greater.
Yes.
Huh. He's bigger than any problems that we're ever going to face.
Thank you.
And nothing catches him off guard. That's the thing that pleases me. It just encourages my heart to know that he is omniscient, so he knows all things. Nothing catches him off guard. And I'm grateful to him that even before today got here, he knew that I would be here.
Amen.
And so for that, I'm grateful. So we honor your pastor on this morning. We honor the deacons. Even for our musician on this morning, to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming to be a blessing to the household today. Amen. I'm just going to be real honest and up front.
All right.
I don't have a clue where I'm going today.
All right.
But I got the word. And I just asked the Lord. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to say, however you want me to say it. I do have some notes on that around. But at the same time, I'm not going to be mandated to a script. Because God knows who's in the house.
Yeah.
And he knows what each and every one of us needs on today.
Yes, thank you.
And better than yet, I feel like since I came in here this morning, there's a certain spirit, there's a heaviness in this house on today. And it has nothing to do with the passing of Brother Clark.
My God.
It's beyond that. Because there's so much going on in each and every one of our lives personally. And now we're going to have to face those issues and we're going to have to deal with those issues. And sometimes God will allow other people to come alongside you, but sometimes you have to go through the valley by yourself. Not by yourself, but he's with you. But you have to go alone because that's the time when he's going to impart into you what he wants you to get in this season. So I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 46, very familiar text. Psalms 46, verse number 10. Just going to read that one verse. So if you want to stand, you can. If you want to stay seated, it's up to you. Amen. But we're going to see what the Lord has to say. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Psalms 46, verse number 10. And the word of the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Took the liberty to look that up in the Message Bible, and I kind of like the way it says it. It says, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. For just a few minutes on this morning, we want to talk from the thought, maintain your position. Maintain your position. Let us pray. Father God, we come right now in the matchless name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the name that in which every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess that you are God. Father, I pray and I ask you right now that you look beyond my faults and see the need of your people. God, I know I haven't dotted every I, haven't crossed every T, but I pray, God, that you will use me to speak to your hearts and minds of your people on today. Lord, I even pray that you would loose a fresh anointing in the
house. Do it, God.
Because we realize and understand, God, that it's your anointing that destroys every yoke and that removes every burden. So, Father, I pray now that you would allow me to decrease and that you increase. That you would restore, Lord, the joy of your people, the peace of your people, the strength of your people by the preaching of the gospel, simple, full, and free. God, we thank you now. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on my side. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on my side. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, I'm gonna be yielded and I'm gonna be still. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on my side. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on my side. Maintain your position. First of all, we just want to take a brief look at the word maintain itself. It says to call or enable. A condition or a state of affairs to continue. So it's just like he said to maintain your position. So that means you got to do whatever it is you have to do to remain in operable and to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. He said to provide with necessities for life. Or existence. For an example, it said, the allowances cover the basic cost of maintaining, the word maintaining, a child. So that's as a noun form. And then it says, in another version, it says, to keep in an existing state as an efficiency or validity to preserve from failure or decline.
Huh?
That's what the word of God does. It keeps us from failure and it keeps us from declining when we maintain our relationship with God. Then it said to, you know, we said the thought was maintain your position. The word position simply says as a noun, a place where someone or something is located or has been put. Okay? Another part of the definition for that word, it says a relative place, situation, or standing.
Huh.
So-and-so is now in a position to make his own decisions. Position. Or a social or official rank or status. Like, for an example, an employment for which one has been hired. You know, we said so-and-so got a new position.
Mm-hmm.
What they doing? Oh, he's the new bank manager. That position. So God says today, I have given you a position. And I need you to maintain that position until I release you from your assignment.
My God.
Because the devil is roaring about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
And if we are not careful and maintain our positions, we will lose our focus, and therefore we will lose our footing.
Hmm.
So I had I looked up the word this morning. I don't know why the thought came to my mind, Pastor Jackson, about a foundation. And the Lord was telling, he said, you got that phone, you look up everything else, look that up. So I looked up the word rebar.
Huh?
As relating to concrete.
Right.
And I said, but why is rebar necessary in a concrete footing? So it gives it strength. Because if you pour the concrete but so deep and you don't put the rebar in, it's subject to crack. And So the Lord said, I want you to look at yourselves as the bones in your body as being relative to the rebar. It keeps structure. It lends strength. So while you're maintaining your position, you're going to need to have the strength of the Word of God.
Yeah.
You're going to need to have the strength of the precious Holy Ghost that Pastor has been talking about for the last couple of weeks. You're going to need the combination of these two in order for you to make it in this hour. Because the enemy is not playing fair.
No.
And it's time out for us being Mr. and Mrs. Nice Go to Church on Sunday Christian. But we're going to have to learn to pull out our divine arsenal as Deacon Williams, Dr. Williams over here spoke of in his prayer. And I was like, Lord, I'm feeling this prayer from him this morning because it is lining up with what you already told me. So we have got to come to the place that come hell or high water, we're going to have to make up in our mind that regardless of what we see, we're going to maintain our position. So as I was watching the other night, the word, I'm literally saying watching, because sometimes when I'm reading it, it seems like certain portions of it just become extra bold in the text.
Right.
And so as I'm looking at it, he said, be still. That means you need to stop moving so much. That means sometimes you just need to turn off your TV. You need to put down your phone and your iPad. And you just need to sit there and hear from God and let him download in your spirit what it is that he wants you to do right here and right now. You know, we're so busy ripping and running. I get so tired of hearing these pastors and preachers and prophets and evangelists, whoever you are, wherever you are. I get so tired of hearing them saying that I'm just tired, I'm worn out, I'm just beat down. And I'm not saying this to you.
I ain't tired.
But I'm saying it because it needs to be said. A lot of times they are doing things that God has not ordained for them to do. And so basically what you're doing is running off of your flesh, saying that, you know, I've been doing this and I've been doing it. But is that what God has ordained for you to do right now? He wants us to be helpers one of another, but not at the cost that you disobey his voice and you neglect the call that's on your life.
Well,
so when God needs you to go somewhere, you can't go because you wore out. And you cannot maintain your position if you cannot fight. When the enemy launches an attack, you have to be ready to fire back. I'm going to tell y'all. Since Christmas, I've been having these spasms in my back. And this week it has greatly increased.
Huh?
To the point Friday I was at work and I told my supervisor I might have to go to the emergency room. Because the pain was even coming up to the point it felt like it was coming up behind my heart. And I said, now wait a minute, devil. You ain't renting no space in here. You ain't paying no cost for me. You didn't die on a cross for me. And you sure did not go back to glory. There is no strength, no power that you have within me. So you're going to back up off of me. And guess what? I stayed and I made it through the day. And the pain began to subside. Did it go away completely? No, it did not. But I know who my maker is. And he said, in him,
well,
I have peace, which means nothing lacking, nothing broken, and nothing missing. Amen. I have strength because he's my Jehovah Tzur. I know that he is my maker, so whenever there are problems that are coming up, I go back to him. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
My car is a Lincoln, and I'm not bragging because it's getting ready to leave me. I'm just speaking that. So I don't take it to a Toyota dealership, Brother Scruggs. I take it back to the Ford or to the Lincoln because I take it back to the manufacturer. So God knows the infrastructure of my body. He knows what I need. So I take my problems back to him. Because I know that he's able to solve it. So he said, be still. But why are you being still? Make sure that you know. The word there, and, is a conjunction. So we have to be still and know at the same time.
And.
So when I was doing this the other night at home, the Lord said, look at your hands. I said, Lord, it's a prayer. He said, while you're being still and let you already know, I need you to stay in prayer. Because prayer is your weapon. And you cannot stop praying. I don't care what the devil shows you. You cannot stop praying. You cannot stop believing if you want to maintain your position.
Yes, sir.
Even my global manager for the company came the other day, and he was talking to me, and I looked at him, and I said, something's wrong with you. Mm. And he said, I don't understand you sometimes. You're too perceptive. How do you know these things? I said, because of who I am, and I'm not going to explain it because you're not going to understand it. But I began to tell him some things that the Lord said to me, and he's like, you know what? Every time I come to you, you always seem to have an answer. And I said, it's not from me, it's from him. And I said, so your evening is going to be filled with wise decisions. Stop worrying about stuff and start talking to God. Amen. So he went away. And he come back the next day, he said, I still don't understand you. I'm telling you, the world is looking to the church for answers. But they cannot get the answers because we're too busy complaining. We too busy living messy lives. We're too busy playing into the hand of the enemy instead of standing on the wall,
yes,
being
sir.
Watchmen,
yes, sir.
For the attacks that are coming towards us.
Yes.
God is saying to me even right now, he said, some of you, I've called you to be divine intercessors. But you don't know what I'm saying to you. You don't understand because you don't read your word enough. Mm. And when I'm trying to wake you up in the midnight hour, it's more comfortable for you to sleep than for you to talk to me. When I'm trying to get you to the point, I'm pulling you from the back to the front. But it's comfortable for you to stay where you are because you know that area. You're complacent there. Can I tell you, Dr. Williams, about this time next year, you're not going to be sitting right there.
Jesus.
I'm just going to tell you straight up. God is calling you. And you already understand that. You know that. But this is the season of preparation. So by this time next year, you're either going to be there or you're going to be here. I don't know which one.
Amen.
But I want you to just continue to prepare yourself.
My God.
Continue to build on your foundation. Continue to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. That you get clear understanding that when you step out, you make your call and election sure. So we're still talking about maintaining your position, right?
Huh.
So even though the floods can come towards you, the storms come towards you, life challenges happen to you, you still got to be still.
Right.
You know, things happen. Like I remember years ago when I came in this morning, Sister Michelle was telling me about her uncle passing away. Back in the day, when things like that would come to me or to our family, everybody falling apart. We don't know what we're going to do. But thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph.
Yeah.
Now I have an inner peace, and I said, okay, God, we're not here to stay forever.
Hmm.
We are pilgrims passing through. But at the meantime, while I'm going through, you still have me by the right hand, which represents the hand of power, and the left hand is the hand of blessing. So I don't have to fall apart just because yes, it hurts to lose your loved ones. But at the same time, you can have inner peace. Because you know who your God is.
Yes.
Said, I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. So while people are looking at you and standing around saying, well, they just lost this person. And
yeah.
They're not tore up. They're not falling out in the floor and all that. No, because you know who God is.
Right.
And you know the word of God for yourself. That when you go to him in prayer, he sends the Holy Comforter, the Holy Spirit to comfort you. So we have to change our mindset. We have to change the way we look at things as we go through life. And even right now, I just feel in here right now, there's so much stuff circling around
our
minds right now. So it's even hard for you to get this word that I'm trying to get across to you. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance in due season. So maintain your position. And I'm not talking about an earthly position right now. While that's good and wonderful, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your spiritual position.
Come on, sir.
Because you... See, the devil don't want me to talk. You know who you are here in the earth. But do you know who you are in the spirit? Do you know who you are in the spirit? Let me see, can I find this real quick to help you out? Ephesians chapter 1 There's a real short prayer. From verses 15 down to 21, I believe. I'm not going to read it, but y'all can read it when you get home. And pray that prayer on a daily basis, that God will remove the blindness from your eyes, that you will be able to know what is the hope of his calling in you is.
My.
That you will be able to function.
Yes.
In your calling. And I'm telling you, the word of God said that I come in the volume of the book. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. When you find out who you are for yourself in this book, when God reveals to you who you are,
yeah,
there's a strength that comes up on the inside of you.
Huh?
And when that strength comes up, it assures you, yes, I can do this because God has called me to do this work. I'm like him. When the Lord, I went, I don't know how many years, Brother Danny, the people kept coming telling me, God is calling you to preach. I said, you done told a lie. God is calling you to do this. God is calling. No, no, no. You got the wrong one. I don't even like people like that. I'm not going to stand here and tell a lie to be in this pulpit or in this church. And it wasn't the point that I didn't like people. I didn't like people's ways. And they probably don't like mine either. But at the same time, I had to put my flesh on the back burner to come to find out who God really is and who he is to me, and to make myself available to him to do what it is that he wants me to do.
Yeah.
And once I get all that on one accord, I'm free to flow. I can do what he wants me to do. So while you're maintaining your position, there are some things that's going to come and try to knock you off point.
Huh?
But you got to learn how to plant your feet on a solid rock.
All right.
And you got to learn how to not let every wind and doctrine that comes by you blow you. I mean, we can be like the palm trees. We can bend a little bit, but right, we sure not going to break.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to take it. And so then he took me over to Romans 8 and 28. And this is all familiar. But he said, and we know that all things work together for good,
yes,
to
sir,
them that love God.
Yes, sir.
To those who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes, sir.
Will you tell me, I had somebody tell me, how is a child, somebody's baby dying, how is that going to work to your good? Well, you know what? We can pray and we ask God. And sometimes God gives an answer, sometimes he doesn't. But do you know that child's life, that child could have had some kind of sickness. That child could have rose up to have adversity in the home. God could have saved that child from molestation. God could have saved that child from so much stuff. We don't know. And then we have to get to the point where God doesn't give you the answer to your why. You still got to be able to trust him.
Yeah.
Because some things you won't get an answer to. But just know that eventually it's going to work to your good. You know, one of my friends at work was contemplating suicide the other day, and I didn't even know it. So they called the police and had the police go to his house and pick him up.
Mm.
And all he put out a thing that he had this dog. He loves animals. He said, I can trust animals. I don't trust people. Mm. And he said, and I had this dog, and the dog, I had to let it go because they locked me up for a period of time to get myself together. And he said, I'm sorry that I did that to the dog. He was so apologetic to this animal.
To the dog.
And the Lord told me, he said, tell him that the family that adopted the dog needed it more than he did.
My God.
And he was like, oh my, that makes so much sense. He said, because that child is so much happier now that has it. So we don't know why things happen in our lives, but we have to learn not to dwell on it to the point that you lose your connection with God because you don't understand something. We have got to learn to maintain this position that we're in right now. And if anything, we want to go forward, not go backwards.
Right.
Because even getting back to the thing with the concrete, if you pour the concrete more than 4 inches and you don't put the rebar in it, then guess what? It's subject to crack more readily. And I even saw a thing that said, can you pour the concrete directly on grass or whatever over top of it? You can. But it's not going to last. Why? because the grass and the bare ground under it brings forth moisture. And the moisture will cause the concrete to crack. So how can you build your life on a firm foundation if you're not pouring in the Word of God? If you're not being led by the Spirit of God.
My.
And you're not being obedient to what God is saying to you.
My.
Today is a day we have to make some decisions. Do I want to maintain my position, first of all? Am I happy where I am? May not be, but is that where God placed you?
Huh?
Is that what He really wants you to do? And are you sure? Got so many people, Pastor, want to run to the pulpit right now. And if they knew what we know, they would run in opposite direction.
My God.
And I'm not saying that to be funny, but it's real.
Yeah.
It's always something that looks glorious to you, but is it going to be beneficial for you? Mm-hmm. What is God wanting you to do for Him? When we get to that point, we're going to know and understand who we are, and it will empower us to move forward and not be ashamed. You'll get excitement. And then he went on over to Romans 8:18, and this is my last verse. He says, "For I reckon
yes, sir.
That the sufferings of this present time
not worthy.
Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, "I reckon." That means that in your mind, you've come to the conclusion that everything else you've already gone through, God was there.
Well,
all the good times and all the bad times, God was there. So in my mind, I can take inventory. Glory to God. I can take inventory of the things that God has already brought me through. The car accidents.
Come on, sir.
That I've been in. God brought me through.
Yes.
Especially the one when the car went up on the bank and was still moving forward. And I said, Jesus. And the next thing, the car was back in the road in the right lane. Pouring down rain. No dents, no scratches, no nothing.
My God.
That's the kind of God that we serve. When I got to the store and the light was shining in the dark, the light shined down on the side, all I could see was mud. I said, Lord, thank you. But no dents. Another time in the curve, the car went off the road. Another car went off the road. And the drop-off was higher than that ceiling right there, from that floor to that ceiling thing there. And my car went off the road in the middle of a curve, and all I could see was me going straight to a tree. When I got to the tree, the car turned, and I went down past the tree, over that embankment, and my car went up like this in somebody's front yard.
My God.
And I got out the car, and I said, Lord, thank you
that you
spared me.
He said, no, sir. Turn
around. And when I turned around, there was another tree. I never even saw it.
My God.
The car came between the two trees. And the lady came running out on her front porch, ground covered with snow. She come, an older lady came running out. She said, sweetie, are you okay? I said, yes, ma'am. I just need to use your phone.
In the bathroom.
Got the car, pulled out, pastor, came straight on to work. No dents, no damage under the car, nothing. I'm telling you, that's the kind of God that we serve.
My, my, my.
But he's, I reckon, so see, I can look back on these things and draw strength and encouragement from them. So no matter what you're suffering through today in this present time, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in you. He's building foundation. He's building, putting that rebar in alignment to keep your body strengthened and your spirit man right. But the glory, the weight of God.
Yeah, the weight.
See, in order to carry the weight, you got to have some strong structure.
Huh?
That's why it's important that you have a firm foundation. Because if you put a foundation down and it's not done right, and you put a whole lot of weight on it, your house is going to crumble. So today, are you going to continue to maintain your position? are you going to allow the enemy to come and take from you what God has already given you? We got to make some decisions, some strong, hard choices.
Yeah.
And sometimes part of you, God. In order for some of you guys to stay in your maintain your position, there's some decisions you have to make even regarding your children.
Oh my.
That's all he said. He said you got to make some decisions regarding your children. You have to make that decision. It's going to be hard and it's going to hurt, but you have to make that decision as a child.
My God.
Because if you don't make it, the enemy will swallow them up.
My God.
You have to set precedence in your home. What you will and will not allow. And I know I'm not speaking French right now, but y'all understand what I'm saying. It's a time for you to be the parent, and it's a time for you to be that friend. Right now is not the time for you to be that friend. I'm just telling you what the Holy Ghost said. It's not time for you to be that friend right now. Because the decisions that you make will affect them from this day forward. And God is saying the blood will be accountable on your hands if you don't tell them right from wrong. You can no longer co-sign on stuff that's not right.
Come on here.
But you cannot be silent either, because your silence lends strength. Speak the truth in love. And they might not act like they're listening to you today, but in the weeks and years to come, they're going to come back and they're going to thank you. I didn't want to hear it at the time. But thank you for telling me the truth.
Yeah.
Because you helped me to become the man or the woman that I am now. That's what you're going to hear. And sometimes we think because we're in church, oh, just let the Lord take care of it. Well, he is taking care of it. He done gave you the instructions to give to your child.
Yeah.
So take care of the gift that God has given you in your child. Speak now and save their life. Good God, from God, I don't even know where all this is coming from this morning. But he said, speak to them and save their life.
My.
We want to wait. We are reactive people. We want to wait until after something happens. And then we want to run to God like it's his fault. But we need to be proactive. Some messes can be cleaned up before they happen.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you can still love them and tell them the truth.
My.
And Pastor, he said to tell you the same thing. You can love the people of Chapman Grove, and we know that you do. But sometimes you just have to be bold enough to tell them the truth even when they don't want to hear.
My.
They might not show up for a couple Sundays, but they'll be back. They'll be back. So you guys, I just want to say that I love you with the love of the Lord. And I pray that this word will encourage you. Just remember Psalms 46 and 10, Romans 8 and 28. Romans 8 and 18. Maintain your position, whatever the cost. Because you're going to be necessary in this next move of God, especially here at Chapman Grove.
My.
I don't know when, because he didn't tell me. But there's going to be an influx of people coming.
Right.
And when those people get here, they might not look like you. They might not dress like you. They might not have your same hair texture. But when they get here, you got to be ready.
Yes, sir.
And you got to receive them with open arms.
Yes, sir.
And you got to have some foundation already established that when they come to you, because everybody in here has somebody assigned to your life. And so when that person shows up, you can't be unprepared on your job. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You got to be prepared. and ready to hit the ground running. You done had your on-the-job training. I'm telling you, get ready for the next move of God for you as an individual so that you can help propel the church forward.
Glory.
It's too close to the edge of the road for people just to come by here and not stop eating.
Yeah.
Have your house ready. Not just clean it up, but have something to offer when they show up.
Yes, sir.
Because we already win. We know that. In the end, we win. But we're winners now. Because we're more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
So today, I want you to make up in your mind. I'm going to maintain my position whatever the cost. Mm-hmm. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Lord, Sister Boyd, I've been trying to avoid you all morning since I saw you sitting out there. But I'm just going to say this to you. You are a woman that loves God from the depth of your heart.
Mm.
And I believe that there's a worshiper in you. There's a praiser in you. But there's more. And so I want you to begin to seek God like never before. I don't know what all you do at your church. It's not my business. But I want you to know there's another dimension that God is getting ready to take you into. So as you prepare for that, I want you to begin to even fast, maybe a little bit more if you can. Seek God early in the morning. Because there are a lot of people at your church that need what you have.
My God.
And they may not even recognize you right now as the woman of God. They don't recognize the gifts that God has buried on the inside of you. But I hear the Holy Spirit saying that the rebar in you is being shifted because he's giving you a newfound sense of strength that when you go forth to do what it is he's called you to do, you will realize that you're not doing it in your flesh, but it is the strength of God and only the strength of God that is keeping you and that is pulling you into this thing. Your pastor is going to ask you what took you so long. I just heard that. He's going to ask you, why did it take you so long to come forward? And I think it's going to be rhetorical because of the fact that he already knows what's in you. God has revealed it to him. That you will be a blessing to that house, even more so than you already are. And so I just want you to be encouraged and just know that when God starts waking you up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, just have a little chat with him, because he's going to begin to give you little nuggets to help encourage you along the way to get to that point. And I believe it's going to be an expeditious movement for you. Because those people that need you in that church are really hurting. And he's going to put in your mouth the words of life to encourage them.
Hmm.
Psalms 81 and 10, I believe, says, if you open your mouth wide, he will fill it. So I just want to encourage you today. Keep doing what you're doing, my sister. And just trust God to see the glory that's going to rest upon your life. Amen. Amen. I'm finished, y'all. That's what he told me to say, so I'm done. So I thank you again, Pastor, for allowing me to come to stand in your pulpit.